Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
As we bring the curtain up on a new week here at Fox Sports Radio, the weekday lineup has returned. You have been blessed, depending on how you look at it, maybe not. But we begin with the Sunday night game in New Orleans, in the Bayou, the Saints without Drew Brees, with Teddy Bridgewater passing for only 193 yards and a goose egg. In terms of touchdowns, the New Orleans Saints did not matriculate the ball into the end zone, but their defense was able to contain the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys did get in to the end zone, but Alvin Kamara, 69 yards. New Orleans didn't need a touchdown because Will Lutz kicked not one, not two, not three, but four field goals. And that was it. So New Orleans gets the win, their second ugly win. They lost the stat sheet last week against Seattle, but the very generous, boy were they generous, Seahawks kept giving the ball away to New Orleans, and they were able to capitalize on that despite a huge disparity statistically a week ago. So New Orleans, ugly, but 3-1, and Dallas, their first loss of the year. The better story is in the losing locker room. So let us discuss the question. And it really comes down to quarterback play for Dallas and Dak Prescott. P.U., what stinks? That would be the Dallas Cowboys quarterback. Number 4 in your program, but number 99 as far as efficiency is concerned. Boy, was he bad. In this game, the Cowboys just could not get anything consistently going. So the question is, how concerned should the Cowboys be with Dakota Prescott, who is supposedly on the brink of getting one of those life-changing mega contracts? So on the Maller scale of concern, 1 to 10, with 10 being Jared Goff as your quarterback who just got the biggest contract in NFL history, how concerned should the Dallas Cowboys be with Dak Prescott? Now, originally I was going to say a 7, but I'm going to crank that up because I believe Jerry Jones is going to do the thing he should not do at the time he should not do it. And I believe that the Maller scale of concern now, I'm cranking it up to an 8.5. I'm at 8.5 for Dak Prescott, and I have no skin in the game. All right, my thoughts are, you have knocking at the door, ketchup and barbecue sauce, and the paper tiger. And we will combine all of these things together. Now, hey, Dak Prescott, this was an opportunity to rise up, right? Zeke Elliott was bad. He stunk. He had 18 carries for 35 yards. He averaged less than 2 yards per carry. I thought he was the greatest running back in the history of pro football. Less than 2 yards per carry for Zeke Elliott. So he was terrible. And he was essentially useless, is what he. Not only was he a running back, he was useless. Would have been more productive if he had just stayed in Cabo San Lucas and laid out on the beach somewhere. He would have had a more productive night than he did in New Orleans. The Saints played, listen, they played good defense. Give them credit, right? Suffocating style defense. But you got to compete. Zeke Elliott, he also had a fumble in this game. It was a manure performance. And so this was a chance. It was an opportunity knocking at the door. That was the sound. And Dak Prescott, he had the chance to step up and put the Cowboys on his back and say, "Hey, Jerry, look at me. I can lead the Cowboys when Zeke Elliott has a bad day." So what did Dak Prescott do? He vomited all over the 50-yard line is what Dak Prescott did. Pure puke is how he played this particular game, and especially down the stretch. Now, we can nitpick and say, you know, the bulk of the game was bad, but this was anyone's game in the fourth quarter, right? There wasn't a lot of separation between these teams. In the fourth quarter, Dakota Prescott drowned. He needed someone from Baywatch to come help him out here. He drowned. Tight game. One score game. Fourth quarter. Dak Prescott, 5 of 12, 69 yards, no touchdowns, had the desperation interception at the end. A passer rating in the fourth quarter of 26. 26 was Dak Prescott's passer rating. And for the full game, he averaged less than 7 yards per attempt. It's the kind of performance when you parlay what Dak Prescott did and what Jared Goff did in Los Angeles with his feces-like performance for the Rams. Jerry, you've been warned. Ball's in your court. The writing's on the wall. All right? The omens are there. What you going to do? And for all those idiots, the toadies in the media that give Dak Prescott a bubble bath and worship the Cowboys, weren't these people saying the first couple weeks of the year, well, Dak Prescott's proving he deserves that contract. Well, if that's the case, didn't he just prove the opposite? He doesn't deserve the contract? Or does it only work when Dak plays well? And when Dak sucks, we can't say that he sucked and he should still get the contract. So which one is it? Now, I'm asking the question. Is it when Dak plays well, give him the money, when he plays a second-rate team and puts up numbers, or is it a case where he plays a team that's got a pretty good defense and he just can't compete because he's not good enough? Which one is it? I'd like to know, which one is it? I think you know the answer. Now, to add insult to injury, Teddy Bridgewater was bad, but with the game on the line in the fourth quarter, his passer rating, 99.2 in the fourth quarter. He did not have an incomplete pass. Now, he did give up some big sacks, one in particular, which was a big bugaboo, the bull rush. He was unprepared, it seemed, at times, for the Cowboys' defensive front. But New Orleans, again, this is a team that they're going to have to win like this because Bridgewater sucks. I think we can all agree on that. I mean, I hear some people on the radio praising him. He's not good. He's not. And he's a second-rate backup quarterback who's out there. The Dallas Cowboys, though, offensively, last I checked, the Saints are not the second coming, the reincarnation of the mid-1980s Monsters of the Midway or the 2000 Baltimore Ravens. But, my God, the Cowboys certainly made them look like that. Now, this was just rancid offensive football. Dak Prescott, he's got to own this. I recommend going to the store instead of getting spicy nuggets, because I know you like the spicy nuggets. I recommend some ketchup and barbecue sauce, because you got to eat it. You got to eat it, as my friend Vic the Brick, the great radio man Vic the Brick would say. You got to eat it, right? You got to play better. 3D was back in all his glory. Dink, dunk, drop-off, or dink-dunk-dack, whichever one you want. A lot of dinking and dunking and dropping off passes galore from Dakota Prescott. Unable, the Cowboys were, to go with the Smash Mouth brand of football ground and pound. There was none of that. When you're running back, your franchise running back, number 21, Zeke Elliott, is averaging less than 2 yards per carry. They needed Prescott, as we said, to be the guy. You can't just be the caretaker when you have no running game, and he failed. F-minus for Dak Prescott. It was sloppy all the way around. Now, to be fair, there was not enough attention to detail. Jason Witten had an egregious fumble. Zeke Elliott also on a fourth down and one call. That was bad. At one point, Dak Prescott literally threw the ball into quadruple coverage. The Saints had four defensive players and one Cowboy, Amari Cooper, was there. Four against one. All right, that, you know what that is? That's a kamikaze mission is what that is. That is, you have almost no chance. Four against one, and they've got the four, and you've got the one. And that's what Dak Prescott did.
Garbage.
Yeah. I mean, my goodness. I mean, you can go on and on here. The Cowboys with Dak Prescott orchestrating only how many drives that went 35 or more yards? Two. They had two drives the entire night that went more than 35 yards. Now, Teddy Bridgewater, who stinks, he had three. So he had one more. One more. Cowboys also had six penalties. And how about the possession? Time of possession. Cowboys couldn't throw, couldn't run, and they only had the ball for a little less than 24 minutes. The Saints had the ball for 12 minutes longer. And they often point out that possession is the key to much of this, and those are the numbers of a loser. And then to add an extra kick in the nuts, Tyron Smith, the star offensive lineman, the left tackle of the Cowboys, Tyron Smith, he was carted off the sideline. It's a high ankle sprain he got rolled up on during a sack late in the fourth quarter of this game. All right, last word here. So who are the real Dallas Cowboys? It is a time to do inventory. We are 25% into the regular season. This is one of those markers that you look and see where you are at after four games. And the report card for the Dallas Cowboys, you know what it says? Paper Tiger. The Dallas Cowboys are a paper tiger. What does that mean? It means when they play the weaklings of the NFL, they're fine. They look great. Right, Cowboys feasted on a steady diet of Giants, Redskins, and Dolphins to go 3-0. They scored 97 points in those games, averaged 32 points per game against the bottom feeders of pro football. Big chunk plays everywhere. Then playing a more legitimate defensive opponent with not a great quarterback, what did the Cowboys do? They buckled. They absolutely buckled. 10 points. They had a total of 15 first downs, but really only 12 because three of the first downs were gifted by the Saints on penalty. And so the Cowboys sit right now at 1-3. And as long as they get to play more lightweights, they'll be all right. They'll be fine. Unfortunately, you do have to play some good teams along the way, and that is a problematic situation for the Cowboys. Let's hear from some of the participants. Here's Jason Garrett, the head coach of Dallas, pointing out the obvious when it comes to the offense.
I thought we did some good things offensively, but certainly not
That's
good
not
enough.
Obvious.
Turnovers hurt us in the ball game, and in a game like this, there are limited opportunities, so you have to take advantage of the ones you have as best you can. We didn't do that. We didn't play consistently well enough on the offensive side of the ball and didn't generate enough big plays to give us the scoring opportunities we needed to.
Wait. We did some good things offensively. What did they do? They were 4 of 11 on third down, the Cowboys. I'm trying to find something positive here because I'm not a negative person. I'm not a negative person. I'm trying to think here. The Cowboys offense, they ran 54 plays. They averaged 4.8 yards per play. And that there were some positives? Really? I'd like to have you as my professor, man. That's a good boss right there, right? You talk about grading on a curve. Man, all right. Here is more from, how about Dak Prescott, Mr. Spicy Nuggets guy, Dak Prescott. Man, oh, man. You've really got to be beaten and devastated after this. I mean, the entire team needs therapy. Yes, Dak?
We've got a great team. There's no confidence lost with this loss. I can promise you that. There's a lot of things that we'll take from this, that we'll learn from, we'll become a better team because of it, and that's the most important thing.
He has that speech down pat, doesn't he? Every Cowboy loss, he says something along those lines, some version of what he just said there. That's his default. It's like on the stump when you see these people running for the White House and they go around. They're in Des Moines 1 week and they're in Iowa City the next and they're in wherever and they give the same basic speech. The same basic speech. All right, here's one more from Dak Prescott, and he is going deep into the bag of cliches for this one.
We just didn't make the plays that we need to make. We had some opportunities, and I just simply didn't make them. We still had a chance right there at the end of the game with the ball in our hands with over a minute left, and a terrible decision by me in taking that sack. That's real one-on-one and two-minute drive, especially without timeout. So you take that out of it. I mean, we made some plays to get ourselves down there, but as I said, give them credit. Give them all the credit. They won this one, and we'll definitely get better because of it.
There are some things that are understatements, and then there's that. Oh, we just didn't make enough plays. Thank you for that. Why don't you just tell us, here's what I'm going to say. Go to sportscliche.com, and that's what you're going to hear from me.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So we often hear about home field advantage being a very important thing. Teams battle it out during the regular season to get extra games at home. The creature comforts of the home field, historically, If you look at the all-time record, teams have won more games at home than they have on the road. That is a fact. It is not erroneous. Well, that did not exactly work out so well during week four of the NFL season. Now, the Sunday card wrapped up where they win by New Orleans on the home field. But prior to that, the only two home teams to win, there were three, actually. There was New Orleans Sunday night, you had Chicago, and you had the Giants. And that's it. Everyone else, all the way going back to Thursday night with Philadelphia at Green Bay, the Eagles fly into the win column. But there's three games that really stood out here for me individually as far as home teams losing in week number four. This Mallard Mog, we're going to focus on three stunners. You got the Raiders grabbing a win over the Colts in Indy.
The greatness of the Raiders.
Carolina stomping out the Texans and emasculating Deshaun Watson in Houston. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers putting up double nickels against the Rams in Los Angeles. Double nickels! I got a great story about that game before I get into the monologue. So, if you're a longtime listener of Fox Sports Radio, you know we've had a lot of people that have worked here over the years that have passed through the hallways of Fox Sports Radio. And one of the people is a guy named TJ Reeves. And TJ did a weekend show here at Fox for a number of years. And he is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers sideline reporter.
Who?
TJ Reeves.
Good. I was his producer.
Yeah, you were his producer. So I got a text out of the box. I had not talked to TJ in like 2 years. So I got a text on like Wednesday. Hey, I'm going to be in town. I'm part of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers traveling party, and I know you're a Rams guy. I thought maybe you'd be at the game. And I was not planning on attending the game. So I contacted the Rams kind of last minute to try to get in. Rams did not allow me to go into the game. I'm glad they didn't. I mean, it would have been nice to see TJ and all that stuff. But, you know, TJ was kind of lamenting the fact that he was concerned. You know, the Bucs, they're walking into a tough situation there in L.A. and all that. Well, no, it was not a tough situation. It turned out to be a glorious, a absolute wonderful situation for Tampa Bay. But anyway, let's discuss. Of those three home losses, we'll just focus on these three. Which one was the most embarrassing? You got the Texans losing to a backup for Carolina, the Colts going down to a Raider team which had not even been competitive the week before, and the Rams dishing out 55 points to Jameis Winston and the Buccaneers. Well, I got to be fair here, and I'm not a house man. I'm not a toady. The answer is you can ram it all day. You can ram it all night. That's the answer here. Let's be fair. I mean, that sucked. No, listen, my team, that's the difference. Well, no, these idiots are standing up. They're clapping in the other room. Let me explain something to you idiots. All right, that's the difference. When my teams blow, I say that. And the, when the Dodgers suck and they're terrible in the playoffs, I will kill them.
As you were setting up the monologue, I told Roberto, I bet you $10 that Ben goes with the Texans.
No. The Rams were a double-digit favorite. They were 10-point favorites over Tampa Bay. That is a game where most people who know nothing about football that are in these survivor pools would have taken the Rams because, hey, why not? The Rams are a double-digit favorite at home, defending NFC champion. Yada, 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 yada. They sucked. All right, so we'll start with the Rams. Right? First of all, listen, the Rams were hoping that this week was going to be an evolution game for Jared Goff, that he was going to evolve. He had not played that well the first few weeks of the year, but typically you fatten up your stats against a team like Tampa Bay, right? Instead, he went the other direction, and it's how low can you go for Jared Goff? He regressed. Goff was out of whack with mostly worthless performances so far this year. And the performance on Sunday topped. That was like the cherry on top of all the others, which sounds odd saying it because if you didn't watch the game, you say, well, he had 517 yards passing and two touchdowns, and the Rams had no running game. You know, that was the eighth most passing yards in NFL history. Jared Goff wrote his name in the top 10 all-time passing yard days in the NFL record book. That is ridiculous. Just the 22nd player to have over 500 yards passing in a game. But that is the 517, that's the eighth most of all time. That is a tremendous Russell Westbrook stat-stuffing type expedition by Jared Goff, who essentially handed the game on a room service tray to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and said, here you go, with mistake after mistake after mistake. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Three interceptions and a lost fumble. Now, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers converted those four turnovers into a gaggle of points. Jared Goff threw the ball 68 times. That is the third most, as we've been pointing out here the last hour or so, third most in a single game in NFL history. Only Vinny Testaverde and Drew Bledsoe have thrown more passes in an NFL game. And you got to go back to 2000 and 1994. That's a long time ago. And Sean McVay, who I like, boy wonder, right? Doogie Howser, coach of the Rams. He went out and got engaged in the offseason. Should I blame this model, this exotic model that he's stooping? Should I blame her for this? My God. Sean McVay's Rams finished with 68 pass attempts and 11 rushing attempts. Now, if you think that is bad, that's not just bad. That's historically bad. The Rams have become the first team in NFL history to throw more than 65 times and run fewer than 12 times. It had never happened in the history of pro football, 100th anniversary season, and the Rams become the first team with 65 or more pass attempts and fewer than 12 runs. They're also the first team since the 1960s to score 40 points and lose by at least 15 points. That hadn't happened since 1966. You want more? I can go on. Todd Gurley, what was the talk earlier this week? We've got to get Gurley the ball more. It's on me. I will get him the ball more. Gurley, 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 Gurley. A lot of Gurley talk, right? A lot of Gurley talk. How did that work out? Carried the ball five times for 16 yards. Five. Now, to be fair, the Rams were down 21-0 before they even started selling hot dogs. But five carries for 16 yards. He did have a couple of touchdowns. He also was part of the passing game. He caught seven passes. But the five carries by Todd Gurley, a career low. And the Rams have now fallen out of first place in the NFC West for the first time since Sean McVay was hired as coach. They've been in first place the entire time. And Jameis Winston, listen, he played well. He absolutely played well. But this game was given to the Buccaneers. It was like, here you go. Take it. Congratulations, you guys. That's a lot of time in a plane to fly from Florida all the way to California. I hope you enjoy your stay. Have a good time. All right, now secondly, so the Rams take the cake for the most embarrassing, but the Texans, right, the Texans couldn't keep the good vibrations going after beating the Chargers in L.A. last week. Houston continues to show they are a pretender in the AFC. Anyone disagree with me? The Texans are a pretender. Losing at home to Carolina and backup Kyle Allen. I gave a great testimonial monologue to Kyle Allen the other day. I like this guy. He didn't play well. But he played better than Deshaun Watson, who was horrible for the Houston Texans. And this continues to be the story of this guy's career. What is the most important thing that separates the true greats from everyone else? Consistency. And Deshaun Watson is not a consistent performer. He has not been. There are tremendous peaks and tremendous valleys. It's the valley of death this weekend for Deshaun Watson. It was. And that inconsistency is again going to be the undoing of the Texans. He is like a human yo-yo, up and down and up and down and spin it all around. That's how he is. The Texans never know which guy is going to show up. And Houston, think about this. They mortgaged their entire future as far as the next couple of years of the NFL draft, which I have no problem with because they wanted to fix the offensive line, right? They had to revamp the offensive line. How did that work out? Well, Deshaun Watson went out there with his new look offensive line. Carolina's pass rush overwhelmed. Did you watch the game? Overwhelmed the Texas offensive line. Now, how bad was it? Carolina had 10 quarterback hits and 6 sacks of Deshaun Watson. And yet again, Deshaun Watson, you know what he was seeing? Ghosts. He needs to hire the Ghostbusters because he is seeing ghosts in the pocket. He is. And pocket panic and happy feet and all of that stuff, anticipating pressure on every play, even when there is no pressure. And Watson ended up with 160 yards passing, no touchdowns, no interceptions, averaged 4.8 yards per attempt. He also lost a fumble in the game. Now, Kyle Allen, this was not an oil painting for him. He has his own issues there. He lost 3 fumbles for Carolina. How about that? Your starting quarterback loses 3 fumbles. You still win the game on the road if you're the Panthers. That's bananas is what that is. But he was slightly better. In this tug of war, as far as yardage is concerned and things like that, he was better. Now, the final thought here. So the Raiders essentially vandalized the Colts. All right. Now, I did take the Raiders and Benny versus the Penny, which is only available on the podcast format now, which is, boy, I had a guy, Supermarket Steve, won like a grand, I think, betting. He had a 5-team parlay. I was 8-0 in the early television window. So if you had parlayed like 4 games, you would have won all. You would have won the parlay. I had a 5-team parlay, a $50 5-team parlay Supermarket Steve hit. And I'm warning you, that'll never happen again. So you should have done it this weekend because it will never happen again. I mean, this has been just nutso what's gone on the first 3 weeks of the NFL season. Like 20 games over 500 or something like that. It's insane what's gone on. But as far as the Raiders and Colts are concerned, I like the Raiders to bounce back. I believe in this outside of Miami, which is like a minor league football team, real NFL teams, they have a bad performance, they typically come back and play better the next week, even if they don't win. It's the zigzag theory. And the Raiders played like they didn't have a pulse in Minnesota. It was just a mess. And they bounced back in a big way. The Raiders scored 3 touchdowns in the first 16 minutes of the game. So first quarter and then first minute of the second quarter. Their defense forced a couple of turnovers. Eric Harris had the big play for the Raiders. He had a pick 6 in the fourth quarter to seal the game. Any opportunity there for the Colts to come back, realistically over at that point. And Indianapolis looked like they were going through the motions, like the old alarm clock did not go off, right? You have an alarm clock. Now, I use my iPhone. I used to have an alarm clock, but I use my iPhone now. I have like 7,000 different. I don't know how many alarms you have. I have so many alarms on my phone. And I do it like every 5 minutes. I'll set my alarm. I have to get up. Whatever, pick a random time. I'm going to wake up at noon because I work overnights. I'm going to wake up at noon. I'll be 12:05, 12:07, 12:12, 12:16. So I have all these stupid alarms that go off just in case I hit the snooze button on the phone. But clearly the Colts did not put enough alarms on their iPhone. They did not. They looked like a factory worker kind of punching the time card. They had no enthusiasm. Now, I know they were shorthanded, and that's an excuse without T.Y. Hilton and the big one on defense, Darius Leonard, banging it up in this game. But my goodness, we mentioned this earlier, peekaboo, looking ahead, big game Sunday night in week 5, Colts, I believe that game's at Arrowhead against Kansas City. And the Colts had 5 drop passes in the first half. 3 of them by their breakout star from last year, Eric Ebron. 3 drop passes. Marlon Mack was knocked out. He only had 39 yards against the Raiders defense that was suffocating. And Jacoby Brissett played like a third-tier quarterback. Yeah, he had 3 touchdowns, but if you look at the numbers and go and dissect it, get the microscope out, 265 yards, 22 incompletions, and he averaged less than 6 yards per pass attempt and also had an interception.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
All right, let's get to it. Here we go. Let's do it.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets
right,
grilled.
Third degree, thanks to our friends at Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. All right, Koopaloop.
It was announced this weekend that Eric Spoelstra has agreed to a four-year contract extension that'll keep him in Miami through the 2024-2025 season. Now, before the extension, he was already the longest-tenured coach in the Eastern Conference. Is Spoelstra really that good, Ben?
Well, as we often say in situations like this, when you ask me questions like this, everything is relative. All right? A, the most important thing an NBA coach does, there are two things. You massage your star players' egos. You handle media relations. And by all accounts, Eric Spoelstra is pretty accomplished at both of these things. You don't hear often of a lot of hostility. There's not a lot of disorder in the locker room. Players seem to like playing for him. He's pretty good with the media, so he checks all those boxes. And B, Spoelstra, he's got the title. He was able to ride the coattails of LeBron and D-Wade. And you talk about winning at life, though. Right, he got those championships. He's now got the extension. He's going to be Popovich isn't going to last that long, so he'll eventually retire in the next couple of years. And so Spoelstra will be the longest tenured coach in the NBA. He also married a Miami Heat cheerleader. The guy's winning. I mean, everything else is gravy. All right, next.
Now, there was a report Saturday that NFL teams may fire coaches early in order to go after Lincoln Riley. Ben, do you think this will happen? And if so, which team do you peg Riley for?
Well, I don't know that it's actually going to happen because Lincoln Riley's he's a young guy. He got the contract. He could stay at Oklahoma another couple years. They have a very good team this year at Oklahoma. I would say the Browns and Cardinals are the obvious ones. Number one, from my perspective, now Cleveland makes the most sense because Freddie Kitchens, even though the Browns played great against the Ravens, you know, Freddie Kitchens seemingly is always going to be on the ropes unless Cleveland wins a couple of playoff games here and makes a run deep into the playoffs. And Baker Mayfield, who had a great breakout game on Sunday, is a product of the Lincoln Riley playbook. The Browns offense up until this weekend had not been very aesthetically pleasing, so I would put the Browns there. The NFC North, not a daunting challenge as far as that division. Nobody's like a juggernaut in the NFC North, or the AFC North, rather. And then Arizona, again, same concept, right? It's not that difficult, very straightforward. Kyler Murray, the Cardinals have seldom looked much better than last season. Cliff Kingsbury had a losing record at Texas Tech, and that would be a major upgrade, although I believe that is Texas Tech on Texas Tech crime, because Kingsbury Coach Riley there, although Riley, he was an assistant at Texas Tech. So I think there might be, he had worked there in the past. I think he played there. So there might be a problem there. And I'd also throw the Redskins out with Dan Snyder. Dan Snyder likes the big name coach and the hot coach. And the hot coach right now is Lincoln Riley. All right, next.
Russell Westbrook spoke at NBA Media Day this week. And he said that he has dropped next question from his vocabulary. Ben, are we going to see a more media-friendly Westbrook this year, or will he just come up with a new way to avoid them?
All right, so I'm going to bet you $5 that Russell Westbrook has a nuclear meltdown before January 1st. You want to take that bet?
No.
Okay. Yeah, this is complete bull manure. All right, first of all, this is like, you know what this is, Media Day? I've been to Media Day. I used to cover Media Day every year in the NBA. I was going to go to Clipper Media Day, but I had to watch football on Sunday, and they had it during football games. I was like, no, I like the Clippers, but I'd rather go watch football. Anyway, this is like the first day of school when everyone says, I'm going to change my study habits. I'm going to show up on time. I'm going to be a better student. And what happens the second, the third day of school? You end up showing late. You're tardy, the whole thing there. And I'm like the state motto of Missouri with Russell Westbrook. I'm going to show me state of mind here when it comes to Westbrook. And secondly, the real acid test is going to happen when the Rockets go on the inevitable losing streak. Or what? Russell Westbrook is 10 of 33 from the floor, and the Rockets lose because Westbrook keeps shooting three-point shots. Then we will see his real colors. As they say, old habits die hard. All right, there it is. Maller to the third degree. How did we do?
Ben, you pass again.
That is a winner. You put it on the board. Take it, haters. Enjoy it, haters.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, you sports figure guy or girl.
Who the hell are you talking to, son?
Here's some instant advice.
Hold that thought. No one's paid attention to me for 10 whole seconds.
And if you don't like it, screw you.
And away we go. It's the Insta Advice Line Unscreen Radio, brought to you by Discover Card. We treat you like you treat you. Who needs your advice this week? Well, could do the Denver Broncos. They're 0-4. They've lost four games by a total of 23 points. Bad teams lose close games. We could do that, but no. Jared Goff. Now you say, well, on the surface, Jared Goff had 517 yards passing. My God, that is the eighth most all-time in NFL history. Insane. But three interceptions and a lost fumble, setting up Jameis Winston on a short field. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers jumped out to a 21-0 lead, thanks to Jared Goff. So what is your advice to Jared Goff on how to cut down on mistakes? He's thrown a lot. In fact, he's got the last year the most interceptions of any quarterback in the NFL is Jared Goff. 877-99 on Fox is the number. We'll start out with you. Hello, you are up first. Advice to Jared Goff.
Cheer up. At least you're not Joe Flacco. Coop the loop, Broncos lost.
All right, thank you. Yes, line five, you are next. Hello, line five.
Stop having Ben root for you.
Right, go away. Go away, angry. But line four. Hello, line four.
And pop it.
Yeah. Can't wait till the Yankees lose, so Angry Bill will be all surly. Hello, line four.
Yeah, you got to go back to Pop Warner or flag football and learn how to play football.
Oh, thank you for that. Line three, you are next. We're giving advice to Jared Goff.
Cock-a-doodle-doo. My dame lost her shoe. Jared Goff lost his head up his own ass, too.
All right, Raul, your advice, please, to Jared Goff. I don't know, your name's on the screen for some reason. Your advice to Jared Goff.
That's because I've been on hold for 50 minutes, man.
All right, we'll hang up on you. Line two, man, you complain, we'll hang up on you. Hello, you are next. Hello, line three.
Go steal some crab legs.
Is that Angry Bill again? Oh, I better give out the number. I don't want him to keep
so
calling.
So take that in your pooper and pop it.
Yeah. Next thing you know, that idiot from Miami will call in. 877-99 on Fox. The homeless guy that begs for money. 877-996-6369.
Answer that question.
Hello, you're next. Hello.
As a kid, we always learned not to play in the toilet.
That's Sean the Hood guy there with some solid advice. Hello, line five.
He needs to be like Peyton Manning and the Houston Astros because it's the best ever.
That's lies, lies, and damn lies. Line two, you are next. Hello, line two.
I'm Fudgy Kamal, and I love caramel ice cream.
All right.
Wow.
It's the Insta Advice Line Unscreen Radio. Hello, line number three.
Real talk sucks. Boo, 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 boo.
Oh, that was Supermarket Steve, a big winner. He said he was a big winner, gambler, on Sunday. We're giving advice to Jared Goff. This is Unscreen Radio. That's right. The safety net is off. Unscreen Radio. Jared Goff had three interceptions and lost a fumble as Tampa Bay, a 10-point underdog, won by a bunch over the Rams at the Coliseum in L.A., 55-40. First time since the 1960s a team has scored 40 points and lost by 15 or more points. Hadn't happened since 1966. Hello, you on line two. You're next. Hello, line two. All right, line two's not there. Hello, line three.
Rub Bellers.
All right, we'll hang up on him. Boy, Angry Bill keeps getting in. This is bad. We need some new people to call in. Hello, line four.
Break it down.
All right. That was terrible. Right away, you got to start talking. Hello, line five.
The Buckeyes are the greatest.
You called the wrong show. Line six. Hello, line six.
Isn't it obvious, Jared Goff? Come to a team where penalties don't apply, where the referees have been paid off.
Here we go.
Where you get a red card for the Super Bowl year after year.
Here we go.
And your quarterback doesn't get touched. It's ridiculous.
All right. Hang up on yourself, you Patriot hater. moron.
Call Jim Everett out of retirement.
Yeah, Jim Everett, a fan of the show, I hear. I hear Jim Everett, a Maller militia guy. Hello, Ooh. Line three.
Listen to the fifth hour with Ben Maller. He's just giving away winners. The curse of the Bambino is over, baby.
Yeah, 12-2. He's not wrong. 12-2 against the spread this week. I hit all eight of the early games. That's nuts is what that is. I don't think I've ever hit all eight of the early games.
Hey, where are the white women at?
Montana. Hello, line five. You are next, line five. Instant advice line for Jared Goff, the beleaguered and disheveled Rams quarterback.
Yeah, tell him to have a rhythmic jerk.
That's a sleep technique, sir. That's a clinical
My right hand
technique.
Is doing the workout.
Shout out my homeboy.
Slobber, slobber, slobber. And yes!
Sleep number. We love sleep number. Hello, line six.
Rub Bella's titties.
All right. Well, you can't. I mean, are you stupid? I mean, you dumb, you moron. All right. Line two. Hello, line two.
Try putting a Cardinals uniform on. Then you'll wish you're back with the Rams.
Yeah, that would. Well, that's the clown costume, that Cardinal uniform. Man, I mean, you discover that. You're like, oh, man, this is bad. I need to change my outfit. Let's go to line four. Hello, line four.
Yeah, he's got to dump the ball off to his best receivers. Two girlies, one cup.
All right, thank you. What is it? It's like a throwback. Throwback to Tony Bruno show from 15 years ago. Hello, line five. You are next, line five.
Don't play Fortnite and get up the green, get up the green, get up the green.
Yeah, no Fortnite. No. Line six, you're next. Hello.
I don't even know what the question is. Why am I even calling the
hey,
show?
Hey, there
is
you
hockey
go.
Hockey season yet?
It's Fast Eddie.
Oh, almost.
Our guy Fast Eddie. When do you go to a hockey game, Eddie? When's your first hockey
the
game?
The Kings open on the road, and then when they come home, I'm out of the country.
Oh, you're leaving the country?
I am.
That's soon. When are you leaving?
October the 11th.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's filling in for you?
Cast of thousands.
Wow. Where are you going?
Australia.
For how long?
2 weeks.
2 weeks? Wow, you must... You have like the Howard Stern vacation,
no,
don't you, man?
No,
you have so much vacation.
I haven't had a day off in a long time.
Last corporate holiday.
Well, yeah.
Which was not that long ago. I believe I have perfect attendance.
That's a bad job by you.
Yeah, I gotta take some time off. I have not had any. I don't think I have. I've worked every holiday, even Jewish holidays. I work all of them. Any holiday I work, I'm there.
Racist.
Any religious holiday, I work. Whatever.
Wow.
Yeah, it's true. We'll do one more. Only one more call. If it's good, I'll take credit. If not, I'll blame the Koopa Loop. Hurry up, Coop.
Line five.
Line five, you're on the air. Go.
Hey, it's Jerry from Rhode Island. I think Jared Goff needs to change his name to Fog Darage and
yeah,
start all over.
There you go. Change his name. Witness Protection Program. Good advice. That seems solid, right? You know, embarrassing. Change your name.